Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. This morning, for our time together, I want to preach from this subject, a shout that moves God. A shout that moves God. Let's pray. We come, God, because we need your word. Your word that saves. Your word that heals, delivers, and sets free. We need your word. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. This morning I want to invite your attention to what is for most a familiar text. It is the story of Paul and Silas rescued from prison by the move of God in an earthquake. I'm certain that most of us have heard the story in Sunday school or Bible study and have probably heard a sermon or two based on the text. This morning I want to invite you to look at it with me from a fresh perspective. There's a lesson here that I believe worth reiterating, a lesson tucked away in the praise and worship of Paul and Silas. The closing verses of Acts 16 are often referenced when Christians think about the power of praise and worship to radically change one's circumstance. The text provides us with a great study of what the Lord will do for us when we commit to blessing the Lord at all times. All times. Good times and bad times. Happy times and sad times. Stressful times. For most of us, praising the Lord almost comes naturally in the good times. When things are going well, but when money is funny and friends are few, and when family is tripping and the boss is acting crazier than usual, when the pressures of life weigh us down, that's when we have trouble committing ourselves to blessing the Lord at all times. We feel like the children of Israel in the time of the Babylonian exile. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And yet the Bible makes it clear that God expects us to offer God praise regardless of our circumstances. In his letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul exhorts, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Listen, even though we cannot offer thanks for everything in life, we most certainly can and should give thanks to God in everything. We ought to praise God in everything because God is at work in everything, making all things work together for our good. We can give thanks in everything when we recognize that God is in everything, and because God is in it, we are sure to come out of it. Listen, the biblical record even suggests that there are some challenges that we remain in until we begin to praise and to worship God. some biblical passages that suggest to us that our praise and worship of God are the keys to divine deliverance. I'm reminded of 1 Chronicles chapter 20, where the Lord sets ambushes against Israel's enemies and causes them to destroy one another as the people of God praised and worshiped God on the way to the battlefield. Then when the praising people arrived at the battlefield, they discovered that there was no one there for them to fight. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's the story of the widow of Zarephath, who was about to starve in the midst of a famine until she worshiped and praised God by feeding Elijah before making a meal for herself and her son. Listening, it is in the challenging times of life when praise and worship offers us the opportunity to witness the manifested power of God at work on our behalf. Now, let's be clear. Contrary to popular thinking and teaching, praise and worship is not some magical formula that makes God operate on our timetable. What Dorothy Love Coates sang back in the day is still true this day. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You got to trust him and give him time no matter how long it takes. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. You see, the promise of the Bible is this: when we praise God, God shows up. As the psalmist declares, God inhabits our praise. When we praise God, God comes in and makes himself at home. And when God shows up, everything that's not like God must leave. That's what David means when he writes, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." When God arises, when God shows up on the scene, the enemy tucks tail and runs. When God shows up, things have to get better. The key is our praise, because it is our praise that prompts God's presence. And when God is present, all things are possible. So I hear some of y'all ask, "I've been praising God, but I'm still stuck in the same mess." And I say to you, my brother, my sister, don't stop praising God. God will show up. Just hold on. Keep praising God. Keep worshiping. Keep praying. Keep doing what you've been doing. God has promised to deliver you. God will keep God's word. Hold up your end of the deal. Just bless the Lord at all times. Let God's praise continually be in your mouth. Just look at the morning's text. God didn't deliver Paul and Silas at the moment they began to praise God, nor did God deliver them after just a few prayers and praises were offered up. Follow the timeline of the text. Paul and Silas had been tried and beaten and imprisoned earlier in the day. The court is now closed. Night has fallen. And the text skips from the end of the trial to midnight, where Luke writes, "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Luke is intentional in his writing in that he uses the imperfect tense to describe Paul and Silas as they praise and worship. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises. Watch that. They were praying and singing praises. That's the imperfect tense. The imperfect tense indicates an action that begins in the past and is continued repeatedly into the future. When Luke brings us back to the story at midnight, having left us hanging after Paul and Silas were beaten and left to languish in stocks and chains earlier that day, when Luke brings us back to the story at midnight, Luke emphasizes the truth that Paul and Silas had been praying and singing hymns to God continually and repeatedly. What's more is that Luke's vivid writing pictures God's move as having interrupted Paul and Silas's praise and worship. Watch the text. Luke is intentional. when he notes that it was as Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God that God moved. Watch the text. God moved in the midst of Paul and Silas's shout while they offered praise and worship to God. God, in God's own time, on God's own schedule, responded by sending the earthquake that freed them from prison. As Paul and Silas shouted, God moved. As they were praising, God showed up and showed out. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, no matter what it looks like, no matter how bad you hurt, no matter the pain you feel, don't you give up. Don't you give in. Keep on praying and praising. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Shout now and keep on shouting, because the word of God is sure. God will show up. You can count on it. The Lord will come to inhabit his praise. Just hold on. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and praise God while you wait. God will interrupt your shout with a breakthrough that will break you out. Can I help you like this text helped me? If you want to see God move in your circumstance, you got to learn to shout in spite of your situation, in spite of your schedule, and in spite of your shackles. See, we need to learn how to shout at all times. That means we need to learn to shout in spite of our situation, in spite of our schedule, and in spite of our shackles. If we would offer a shout that moves God to move on our behalf. The text reminds us of what we must do if we would see God's move manifested in our lives. As an initial matter, the text reminds us that we've got to learn to shout in spite of our situation. See Paul and Silas in pain, covered in blood, suffering because they took a stand for right and for righteousness by freeing an innocent girl from the grip of demonic possession and human oppression. See Paul and Silas in that innermost prison, in the dungeon, the stench of unwashed bodies and human waste, rats and vermin. That's what you got in a first century Roman prison. You got to see Paul and Silas there, and they've done nothing to deserve it. Listen, can I be transparent for a moment? The time you least expect to suffer is when you've done the work of the Lord, when you've loved your neighbor as yourself, when you've helped somebody, when you've done the hard work of ministry. I mean, it just seems like God ought to give us a pass on troubles when we serve God right and well. And yet the truth of the matter is that there is no such pass in life. In fact, if anything, it seems that the more we try to do right, to live right, to be right, the more likely it is that we will find ourselves abused and bound by the efforts of the enemy. Jesus was talking to all of his followers when Jesus promised, in this world you shall have tribulation. And many of those tribulations come in the wake of us doing the right thing. Why? Because the enemy wants to discourage us from following the will and the way and the word of God. It often seems that the more you serve, whether it's preaching or ushering or singing or deaconing or trusting or just quietly helping and encouraging others, the more you do, the more tribulation you face. You see, the enemy believes that if he can get us so worked up about the challenges that come our way, we'll forget that Jesus did not merely leave us with the promise of tribulation. If the enemy can keep us stressed and oppressed and depressed, the enemy can cheat us out of the victory that Jesus promised in the face of tribulation. Don't you hear the Lord speaking after he tells us of the ever-present reality of tribulation that is part of life, Jesus says to us, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yeah, I've overcome the world. That means that the Lord has fixed it so that we who are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ have the opportunity to experience overcoming victory in the midst of life's challenges. Jesus has overcome and Jesus will ensure that we overcome. Cheer up, the Lord says. Cheer up, I got this. Whatever your this is. In every situation of our lives, God is at work, working all things together for our good, even when life leaves us battered and bruised. We ought to remember to shout unto God with a voice of triumph, even in the midst of life's challenges, because the fact of the matter is, victory belongs to you and me. Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises in the midst of their tribulation, and God interrupted their shout with an earthquake. God moved in response to their praise. God showed up to free them from their suffering. He's that kind of God, and our God is that kind of good. See, don't let your situation keep you from giving God praise if you praise him. The Lord will show up, and he'll show up with the blessing that you need. The text not only reminds us to praise God in spite of our situation, Paul and Silas's story reminds us to praise God in spite of our schedule. It's there in the text. As we fade into the narrative at Luke 25, Luke makes a point of telling us that it's midnight. It's long past lights out, y'all. If you follow the storyline of the text, you'll discover that even the prison warden has gone to bed. It's midnight. Everybody ought to have been asleep. I mean, Paul and Silas should have been exhausted. They had been stripped naked and flogged and dragged semi-conscious into their cramped cell, placed in stocks in the innermost prison, in the dungeon. And now it's midnight. Yet here they are singing and praying with such power that the other prisoners are listening to them. It's a setup, y'all. Don't miss it. The prisoners didn't just passively hear Paul and Silas, as the King James translation might lead you to believe. No, the underlying Greek verb translated in that second clause of Acts 16:25 is a compound word used in an intensive form, and it means to listen to. The prisoners didn't just hear Paul and Silas. They were on the edge of their seats listening to their prayers and to the hymns they were lifting up. The prisoners were paying attention to the words that Paul and Silas were praying and singing. The prisoners were listening to what the prayers and the songs had to say about the God Paul and Silas served. Listen, the prisoners had to have been curious about these new guys who had been dragged in, bruised and bleeding. They'd been dragged by their cells earlier that afternoon, but all the prisoners had heard from the two new guys, Paul and Silas, all they'd heard were prayers and praise. No cussing, just prayer and praise. No fussing, just praise and worship. No pity party, just voices lifted to God in praise. Just shouts to God with a voice of triumph. That's what they heard all evening long. Who was this God that gave Paul and Silas the strength to endure a brutal beating and then pray and sing with such power and authority? Who was this God who Paul and Silas claimed was a deliverer for those in bondage? Who was this God who was light and salvation. Who was this God that was a shepherd and a savior and a king? Who was this God who had all power and might and all knowledge and wisdom? Who was this God that was a strong tower and a rock of defense and a shelter in the time of storm? Who was this God Paul and Silas were singing and shouting about? That's what the prisoners wanted to know, and that's why they were listening. And as the prisoners were listening, trying to find out who it was Paul and Silas were singing and shouting about, then bam, the earthquake happened. And the jail doors were open. By all right and reason, Paul and Silas and the other prisoners should have been asleep. But a praise party preempted the schedule. Paul and Silas didn't know what God was doing in the midst of their praise. That wasn't their business. Nor, my brothers and my sisters, was it their focus. Paul and Silas were simply praying and singing praise to God. But as they were doing so, God was preparing a move that would bless them and bless those who'd been listening to them. I'm trying to tell you, it was a setup. But the setup required that Paul and Silas be willing to praise God on God's schedule and not on their own. Paul and Silas had to be praying and singing praises at midnight despite being exhausted and expended, because at midnight was when God had decided that God was going to move. God scheduled an earthquake for midnight, and God wanted Paul and Silas praying and singing praises so that there would be no doubt as to how the prisoners got freed. There was no question. God did it. God did it by the power of God's presence, a presence that was manifested in the praise of Paul and Silas. Listen, because of Paul and Silas's testimony, everyone in the prison knew that their God had moved in the earthquake and set them free physically and spiritually. Listen, let me cut across the field. Your praise in the rough times of life is the signal to those around you that God and God alone is in control. You see, there are people around you, some going through the same stuff you're going through, who need to know who God is and what God can do. And God has commissioned you to tell them about who He is in your praise. God has allowed them to be privileged eavesdroppers. Here's the question, though. Will you shout at midnight? Or will you be too tired? Will you be unwilling to be inconvenienced because all of the stuff that you've been through? Will you praise God at midnight in spite of your pain? Will you bless the Lord at all times, even when it's inconvenient? Will you tell others who the Lord is and what He's done for you? Will you testify that He's done great things even when you're having a rough time? Will you praise and worship God at midnight? Will you tell others that God is a deliverer even when you're bound? Will you proclaim that God is a healer even when you're sick? Will you tell others that God is a banker even when you're broke? See, you can't let up on praise in the rough times of life, because our praise is ordained and used by God to help others more clearly see who God is. And when, not if, but when God delivers everybody who heard our prayer and our praise and our worship, will know that it's God who gave us the strength to make it through. It's God who's orchestrated our deliverance. But that means, my sisters and my brothers, that we must be willing to shout at midnight, not on our schedule, but on God's schedule. You see, there's a breakthrough coming. It's already been set up. It's a foregone conclusion. Just let God arise and his enemies be scattered, even at midnight. He may not come when you want him, but the Lord will be there on time with what you need. I dare you to praise God on God's schedule and not your own. Praise God on God's schedule and watch God show up and show out. The story of Paul and Silas reminds us to shout in spite of our situation, to shout in spite of our schedule. And finally, it reminds us that if we would see the move of God manifested in the midst of our troubles, we need to shout in spite of our shackles. Again, Skype into the scene at that Philippian jail. See Paul and Silas in the innermost prison in that dungeon. They are shackled hand and foot. They can't get out of the situation on their own. They're stuck and out of options. There is no way that they can free themselves. I see them in my sanctified imagination as they come to themselves in that dank, dark cell, testing the shackles that bind them. In pain and on the verge of despair. But then one of them begins to pray. And next, the other one begins to sing. And then they pray some more and they sing some more. And the more they sing and pray, the better they begin to feel. Their hands and their feet are shackled, but ain't nothing wrong with their mouths. They can't clap their hands. They can't leap for joy. But as they sing about the goodness of the Lord and call on his name in prayer, something on the inside begins to move. My grandmother's generation would have said the prayer wheel begins to turn and the joy bells start to ringing. I don't know, maybe Paul and Silas remembered the words of David. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. There's something about calling on the name of the Lord in prayer and in praise. There's something about calling on the name of Jesus. Listen, can I tell you this? I've discovered in my midnight hour that when I'm down, the more I call him, the better I feel. Anybody ever called on the Lord and when you started calling on him, you didn't really feel like it? But if you just press through the situation, if you push through in spite of your schedule, if you just opened up your mouth in spite of your shackles, you discovered that just a little talk with Jesus made it right. See, that's the problem with some of us. We have made too many excuses. You may be in a challenging time, but ain't nothing wrong with your mouth. You can still pray and sing. I know it's midnight, but you can still lift up a praise. You can make a joyful noise to the Lord even at midnight. You can shout for joy and let the praises of God ring out. Stop using your mouth to fuss and to complain. Open up your mouth and praise God. Open up your mouth and sing. Open up your mouth and give God praise. Shout your way through your challenge and you'll soon discover that you've shouted your way out, cause trouble don't last always. You can make it through every situation that life throws at you if you remember to praise the Lord as you go through. Just have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry and he'll answer by and by. Call on him in the midst of life's challenges. Shout in spite of your situation. Shout in spite of your schedule. Shout in spite of your shackles. Listen, Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Shout now for the victory that the Lord is sure to give you. Shout now over the promise of God. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. By his stripes you are healed. The best is yet to come. I dare you to encourage yourself. With God, I can. With God, I can get through this. You just ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. The Lord will carry you through. He'll bring you out. Just praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my keeper. He's my God. In him will I trust. Just praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noonday. Praise him at midnight. Call on the name of the Lord. For in the name of Jesus, we have victory. Victory is mine in Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise God in spite of your situation. Praise God in spite of your schedule. Praise God in spite of your shackles. That's the kind of shout that moves God. It's a shout that moves God to move on our behalf. Bless the Lord at all times. Let God's praise continually be in your mouth.